Hello.
Hi, this is Christina Mead from LifeTeen.com.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Good, thank you so much for making time to talk. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
So, the first question is, what was it like to be deaf growing up? Did you feel like you were missing out?
That's kind of like a two-sided question. My first response is, well, you know, for me, it was all I've ever known. I didn't know life any other way. So as far as, you know, just adjusting and doing everyday things and whatnot, it was just normal, you know, for me, because I'd never experienced it any other way. So, but as far as, like, you know, you do still have the thought of what you're missing out on, you know, because you're aware. You're aware that you're missing out on a lot. It's kind of a catch-22, honestly, because, yes, it was always on my mind, and I always knew if there was ever something that could fix my hearing, I would want to have it done. So, I mean, I was aware that of what all I was missing out on, you know, and there were so many things difficult, you know, talking on the phone, having friendships or being involved in school functions or parties or sleepovers or things like that. You know, those were always difficult and required, you know, people to understand that I needed to be able to look at them and they needed to speak clearly. And you know, like going to the, just simple things like going to the movies, you know, watching TV, things like that you miss out on or don't get to experience fully and understand. So, I mean, it was just, you know, in my mind, it was just how I was and you just adapt.
So how did you learn to speak so well?
When I went to deaf ed school, I started there, took speech therapy and speech classes, and then once I entered public school, I still took some more speech therapy and speech classes and stuff. And, you know, that's always like the popular question people want to ask or whatnot. And, you know, I don't honestly have like a good answer because I know I've met people that didn't have, that had less of a hearing loss than I did that didn't speak well at all. And then I've met others who, you know, had my hearing loss or worse and spoke just fine. So I was telling someone the other day, I was like, it's just kind of like I suck at math. I'm horrible at math. And I'm not good at sports. And, you know, everybody excels in different areas or they're good at things that other people aren't. So I just kind of attribute it to that. And then I've always loved to read. And I can remember being really young, my dad would always work with me on words and how to form your mouth and saying stuff. So I've always loved to read and write. And I've always liked English and grammar. And I talk a lot. and you know, too, I mean, I've had 29 years to work on it. And
yeah.
And I don't think people realize what all goes into, like, learning to speak and watching someone else talk and reading lips, you know, because a lot of people will be like, well, why does she have an accent? But they don't realize that people in different regions of the world, their accents determine how they move their mouth and, like I said, their tongue placement, their teeth placement, and things like that. So when,
oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm sure if a northerner had taught me speech, I would pick up on the northern accent. I don't know. I honestly never have, like, a really good, solid answer for that.
Were you ever mad at God that you were born deaf?
I don't ever remember a time being mad. I mean, you know, you, as a teenager, all those hormones are raging and stuff, and, you know, I think every teenager goes through, like, the time in their life where they're depressed or sad or, you know, they go from one extreme to the other. And I mean, I did go through a short spurt of, like, feeling sorry for myself, but it never lasted long, and I just always held fast in the hope that, you know, eventually there'd be something. Science and technology is always evolving, and, you know, they're always coming out with new things, and I just always assumed that eventually someday there would be something that would help me, and up until that point, then I was obviously made this way for a reason, and, you know, I know a lot of people think that's weird. Well, why would God make you deaf? Well, God didn't, you know, there's a reason for everything, and I've never felt the need to question it or be angry about it. I just have just rested in the fact of knowing that, you know, for whatever purpose it is, it's for a purpose.
That's awesome. So, like, in Scripture, Jesus promised to open the eyes of the blind and the ears of the deaf, and do you feel like he had a hand in this? Do you consider, like, your new implants and ability to hear to be a miracle from him?
Absolutely. You know, I don't know if miracle, you know, for me, it feels that way, you know, to
yeah.
be one way for 29 years and then at the flick of a button, for something to work and for, you know, for something to be restored. You know, for me, it feels that way. My father-in-law passed away 2 years ago. And so I don't know how many people realize it, but when my mother-in-law came to, when I found out the price of the implant and the insurance didn't cover it, she just really started praying about it. And she just came to us one day and said, look, guys, I've prayed about this and I really have peace about it. And I really feel like the Lord's telling me to just trust in Him and to just cash out my retirement savings and give it to you for this year. And so, you know, she was newly widowed and that was her savings. You know, God forbid if she had woke up the next morning and for whatever reason couldn't go to work because she had to get a job after my father-in-law passed away. But, you know, I mean, that was money. That was what would sustain her in this time. And so for her to just step out in faith and just believe that, there's a really long story, and I guess I could condense it, but my father-in-law passed. She lost her father 1 week and her husband the next week. We had 5 dogs die on the place. We had a welder stolen. We had other things stolen. We had calves die. We had horses die. The trees were dying on the place, and everything just seemed, you know, it just seemed like everything was just slowly dying, and, you know, we're all battling depression, and, you know, we know that God has a plan and God has a reason and a purpose for everything. And whether we ever know, you know, we were okay with that, but we were really battling and struggling with that at the time on our place. We live on 35 acres, and my in-laws and husband have horses. And so she had gone, she was like, I really just need to get away. You know, I want to go visit my friend in Nashville. So she went to visit her friend in Nashville for a week, and she was coming back home. And she was on the plane, and it was a bad thunderstorm. And it was lightning and thundering and raining really hard. And, you know, everyone on the plane is kind of nervous and people are scared. And she had a window seat, and she said she was sitting there, and she was just talking with God and praying. And she said, you know, part of her was scared, but part of her was just like, I can't think of the word, just mesmerized, because it was so neat to be right up there in the clouds from the source of the thunder and lightning and being able to see it, you know, from bird's eye view. And she said she was just sitting there, and she was like, this is magnificent. And she said, she told God, she was talking with God, and she said, she told Him, she said, you know, everything in life right now is just so down, and, you know, we're all battling this heaviness and everything. And she said, if you were to ask me, she said, she told God, if you were to ask me right now what I wanted, she said, I want something magnificent. She said, we need a change. We need something, you know, like the silver lining behind the cloud. She was like, I just need something to just lift my spirits and just to help, you know, carry her through and just remind us, you know. And she was talking with God, and she was like, you don't have to do it. She said, you didn't do it. You didn't answer me when I, you know, when my husband died, when my father died, and all these other things. There's been time in my life where you didn't answer what I asked. But she told him, you know, and that's fine. I would still love you and serve you and follow you all the days of my life. But if you were to ask right now what I want, I just need something magnificent. And it was that next day, literally, that Envoy and the Today Show were calling me saying the video had gone viral. And then 2 days later, we're on the Ellen Show, and they present my mother-in-law with a check to pay her back for her retirement savings that she had cashed out. And then the company agreed to do my other ear for free for all the publicity it was giving them. So, you know, when people ask if God had a hand in it, I can't see any other way. I mean, what are the odds?
Oh, yeah. You know? Wow. That's a beautiful story.
Yeah. That's the short version.
Wow. Like, what was going through your heart and your head when you heard for the first time?
There was so many emotions. I mean, like, sitting there waiting for him to turn it on. I mean, you have, of course, you're elated, you're excited, you want to hurry up and get it turned on because, you know, you've wondered for 29 years what this moment would sound like, what it'll be like. And then, you know, there was also a part of me that was scared. I was scared that it wouldn't work and that for some reason I would be like the one in a billion person that for whatever reason it didn't work for. Or I've gotten new hearing aids several times in my life, and every time I've gotten new ones, even though they're quote-unquote better or better technology or better for me, I hated it because it was still a change. It was still something I had to get used to and acclimate to. And you know, even though this hearing implant was something I've always desired, there was so much riding on it. You know, my widow, like I said, widow mother-in-law cashed out of retirement savings. It was $30,000. It wasn't like they could turn it on and I go, oh, I don't like it. I don't like it. I'd like my money back, please. You know, there was so much riding on it and all this pressure. And of course, I was so excited, wanting to hurry up and turn it on. But then the other part of me was just worrying about all these these things and these factors, like what if I didn't like it? And, you know, it was hard because even though I've always desired to be able to hear, there's still a sense of comfort in waking up every day and knowing what to expect and knowing what life is going to be like for me. So this whole big new change was scary. But the moment they turned it on, I was just like, I had complete utter peace. And I don't know how to describe it, but I was telling the doctors and the technician, the second they turned it on, I just knew it was on. And even though there was silence and nobody said anything or moved or nobody made any noise yet, I could just tell that if somebody did speak or do something, I was going to be able to hear it. And then once I did hear the technician, Melinda, start talking and then setting the remote down and the keys clicking on the keyboard, it was just like the floodgates opened, you know? So there's a sense of relief, number one, that it works, relief, number two, that I definitely liked it. You know, there was just so many emotions leading up to that moment that was just kind of like, I don't know, relief and excitement and all that in one.
What sounds were so awesome to you once you were able to hear that we would take for granted all the time?
Oh, man, that list could go miles and miles. I know in the beginning my favorite obviously was like hearing my little girls. I remember we got home late that night and I was really tempted to go wake them up, but I didn't have the heart to because, like I said, it was around 11 or 11:30, and so I was like, I'll just wait until in the morning. And I remember that night before I went to bed, I was on the computer talking with people, and my husband was like, okay, I'm sorry, I'm tired, I'm going to go to bed, and he kissed me on my head, and I remember, like, the smacky sound, like, I was like, kisses, you know, the smacky sound of kisses. And then that next morning, I got up, and Sloan went and got the girls and brought him home, and I was just sitting in the kitchen floor and just crying, just listening to them play and talk with each other and their little noises and antics they make and stuff. And someone was like, what's wrong? Are you okay? And I was like, yeah, but have they always sounded like this? Like, I didn't know if they were extra wound up or being extra cute or animated or if this was just normal. And he was like, no, that's just normal every day, you know, how they are. So, and then I remember like walking to the mailbox and hearing birds in the trees, and there's just so many, I mean, there's a million little things people don't think about, like being able to hear the microwave go off and the dinger on my oven, you know, not burning stuff, and being able to hear my phone ringing and my kids not having to tell me my phone's ringing or someone's at the door, and just walking through the pasture and, you know, hearing the sound stepping on the leaves and the wind through the trees and birds and so many little things that could go on all day.
If God were to take your hearing away again, you know, if you were to lose your hearing, how would you react?
You know, I mean, that's just, honestly, I mean, obviously I'd be sad, and, you know, but, I mean, that's just life, you know. It's like, why do people die? Why do bad things happen? That's just life. That's just how it goes, and I'd just be grateful for the time I did get to experience it, and just try not to forget what it was like, just as much as I'm trying not to forget what it's like to not hear, you know, because there are good points to that as well, but that's just life, I guess, and I would just have to believe that there was a purpose or a reason, you know.
So how can you use this experience and your new hearing to lead people closer to God?
You know, someone was asking me, you know, I've spoken at several churches since this happened, and someone the other day was asking me, and for whatever reason, I just, like, got the idea. It's kind of like being able to hear now, I feel like, you know, the last piece of the puzzle is in place. And it's just kind of like, you know, not having a relationship with God, you can still, you know, go about your daily life and, you know, good things can still happen to people, you know. And that's one thing a lot of people don't think about is, you know, God didn't come here for the saints. He came here for the sinners and the taxpayers and the, you know, so. For me, it was like just getting my ear turned on. It was like kind of like you start having a relationship with God and everything's just more clear and you feel more complete and you have a sense of security. And not having a relationship with God versus getting a relationship with God, how everything just falls into place and being complete, yeah.
Well, Sarah, your story is so inspirational, and I'm just so blessed that I had this opportunity to talk with you. I really appreciate it.
Sure, sure, no problem. And I thank y'all for reaching out to me and wanting to hear it.